Revelation, if you would. Revelation chapter number 19, we're going to be reading there in just a moment. I think it'd be in order for at least a guest of the church to say thank you. What do y'all think? Amen. The church had been so good, and I promise you this, you've certainly fed us more than we have needed. Amen. That's true, and y'all have done such a good job, and we're so thankful. And I want to try to be encouragement to you tonight. Brother Rain said, are you going to be sweet tonight? I said, sweet and short, you know, whatever. But anyway, I would try to get out of the way tonight. Let Brother Rain's preach some. Maybe I'd give him some liberty to preach tonight. And we missed hearing him last night. What did he say? Oh, we've heard that before. Yeah. Yeah, I remember when I was pastoring, I'd 40 years, I pastored that one church. And I'd get up and I'd say, well, today, I don't think I shall be long. And it was exceeding long. Amen. So I learned maybe just not say anything about it. Amen. Amen. What shall I say? Let's stand our feet. And I want to read this passage of God's Word to you. And Revelation chapter number 19. I want to tell you what I'm going to preach on tonight. I don't usually do this, but I'm going to put this in your head, and then we'll work our way around to it. I want to preach on why wait till then. Now just stick that in your head. Why wait till then? And I probably won't mention it for a long time, but just put that in your head, okay? Amen. Revelation chapter number 19 and verse number 1. And after these things, I heard a great voice of much people in heaven saying, hallelujah, salvation and glory and honor and power unto the Lord our God. For true and righteous are his judgments, for he hath judged the great whore, which did corrupt the earth with her fornication, and hath avenged the blood of his servants at her hand. Again, they said, hallelujah, and her smoke rose up forever and ever. And the 24 elders and the 4 beasts fell down and worshiped God that sat on the throne, saying, amen, hallelujah. And a voice came out of the throne, saying, praise our God, all ye his servants, and ye that fear him, both small and great. And I heard, as it were, the voice of a great multitude, and as the voice of many waters, and as the voice of a mighty thundering, saying, hallelujah, for the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife had made herself ready. And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white, for the fine linen is the righteousness of saints. And he saith unto me, write, blessed are they which are called unto the marriage of the supper of the Lamb. And he saith unto me, these are the true sayings of God. And I fell at his feet to worship him. And he said unto me, see thou do it not. I am thy fellow servant and of thy brethren that have the testimony of Jesus. Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. Be seated if you will, and let me pray with you, and then we'll do our best to share what's on our heart. Father, I want to come again to your throne now, and we want to bless you for this opportunity. We have to read your word in public, and to stand, Father, and try our best to glorify the Son of God. And I want to pray, Father, that you would help me physically and mentally and spiritually, Lord. And I want to pray that, Lord, as you help me, you'd help this congregation that's before us, that, Lord, their hearts and minds would be open, their understanding would be quickened, and that together, Lord, our hearts and minds bonded together, Lord, that we could study this passage and, Lord, see some things you'd have us to see. Should there be someone among us that's not a Christian, I would pray for them that you would speak to them as only God can. Now, Lord, do a work here. I want you to bless Pastor and his family. And that, Lord, we just thank you so much for Lord Brother John. And I'm praying that, Lord, your great hand would be upon him. And that, Lord, I pray that everything he does would be blessed of God. You could put the blessings of God upon it. And that, Lord, Victory Baptist Church would have a great heart to seek the Lord and to have you pour out your fresh blessings on them continually. Lord, do a work here in this place that would cause others as they view it, that, Lord, their ears might even tingle and they would watch in unbelief as to what God's doing. Lord, do a work here. We're going to honor you for what you do in Christ's name. Amen. I want to begin tonight by giving you just a very brief of the book of Revelation. I'm not going to preach through the whole book, but I want to give you a brief of it as we work our way to chapter number 19. And of course, I'm sure that most of y'all know. By the way, I made mention of the night that I read through Revelation once a month. Now, I don't do that to expand my knowledge of the book of Revelation. I do it because God said that you're blessed simply by reading that book. And I kind of am hungry for God's blessings, and so that's why I read it. But now let me bear in mind where we're going here. In chapter number 1 of Revelation, John is on the Isle of Patmos for persecution's sake, for the Word of God. And while he's there on the Isle, he has this revelation of Christ. And here's what I love about chapter number 1. John finds himself in the Spirit on the Lord's day, which tells me, no matter what condition you may be having to serve under, you can still worship God in the Spirit, or whether it's on the Lord's day or not. So the physical things and circumstances is really no excuse for a failure to worship. So when you come to chapter 2 and 3, the Lord gives instruction to send these messages to these seven churches in Asia. And by the way, I saw this the other day. These seven churches in Asia, if you go back and look at them on your maps and see where they're located, those seven churches, and then when you read Revelation 1, John said, I turned to see the voice that spake with me, and being turned, I saw seven golden candlesticks, and in the midst of the seven candlesticks and so on. And then the Word of God said, he walks in the midst of the seven candlesticks, which means now there's those churches all spread out in Asia area, and yet he's walking in the midst of all of them. Aren't you glad that Jesus Christ is not limited to one local church at a time? That he can meet with us in no matter what church that we're in. So we come to chapter number 4, and here's what happens. In chapter number 4, John sees this door open in heaven, and he hears his voice saying, come up hither. And what the first thing he sees his throne in heaven. And of course, we know a little bit about the throne, maybe. And so he sees that, and he's caught up. Now, if you're a fundamentalist the way I am, then what we believe is that Revelation 4 is a picture of the rapture of the church. And matter of fact, you study it, and you will not find the church anywhere in Revelation until you get neighbor to chapter number 20. And so here we are with neighbor, the church in typical form being raptured out or taken to heaven. Then you come to chapter number 5, and John sees in the hand of one of the throne the seven seal book and a lamb, and it was slain from the foundation of the world. Then chapter number 6, neighbor, those seven seals began to be opened. And that seven seal book is neighbor judgments that will be falling on this ungodly world, and they are coming. And when you read Revelation, it's not an allegory. Neighbor, it is a true prophecy of God telling us what wickedness and what awful judgment is going to be falling on this world. So within the context of chapter number 6, you got the white horse, the red horse, the black horse, the pale horse, and the souls on the altar, earthquake. Then we get that seventh seal. And the seventh seal, when it's open, it opens up into seven trumpets. So the seventh seal is not exactly a judgment itself, but it reveals seven more. So you move to chapter number 7. And this is a chapter, I guess, those Jehovah's Witness love, because it's the ceiling of the 144,000. Amen. And so now then here they are way beyond the 144,000. So I guess their change their philosophy somewhat. Amen. Yeah. But in Revelation 7, we got the seating of those. I'm sure they're probably Jewish evangelists that will go through the world. And at the end, of course, there'll be a great multitude which no man can number. Then you come to chapter number 8. Now, the seventh seal has been opened up, and seven trumpets are revealed. And those seven trumpet judgments are something summarized like this. Number one, it will be hail and fire mingled with blood. There'll be a great mountain cast in the sea. A third part of the sea become blood. Another one, neighbor, is wormwood. Waters become wormwood. Many die. Then there's a third part of the sun that's smitten. Third part of the stars become darkened. And then the other trumpets, neighbor, occur in chapter number 9, and which is the opening of the bottomless pit, the Tos Locus out. Then those four angels that are bound in Euphrates. And then, when you get the seventh trumpet, in the seventh trumpet judgment, it opens up into seven vials, or the seven last plagues. So those occur basically in chapter number 16. Now, let me move through quickly. Now, you move to chapter number 11, and you've got the two witnesses, whom I personally believe is Moses and Elijah. You believe what you want, but I believe it's Moses and Elijah, that there were those two witnesses there. Then we come to chapter number 12, and I call chapter number 12 Wonder Woman, and Revelation 12 is about the nation of Israel. Is she not a Wonder Woman? Amen. And so I use it that way. And so here that you got Israel producing, of course, the Messiah, the Christ, which is called the heaven. Chapter 13, that awful, ungodly, unholy Trinity comes in view. And then we skip on down to 16, and it'll give you just a brief on those plagues. Now, by the way, I'm saying again, these plagues, neighbor, are not symbolic. They're real. And so, number one, there's noisome, grievous sore that break out on men. And then the sea becomes the blood of a dead man. Rivers and fountains become blood. The sun somehow drops down and scorches men. Then, neighbor, there is darkness in the king of the beast. Euphrates rivers dried up, which is make way for the kings of the east. And then there's a great earthquake and so on. And then God said it's done. Now then, notice what happens in chapter number 17. Now, you might want to turn there if you want to just look at your headings in your Bible. Here's what happens in chapter number 17. In chapter number 17, it's the judgment of the great whore. Now, you remember that reads, this woman is riding on this beast, and she's called the great whore. Well, what the great whore is, and the way I understand it, it is the religious system, neighbor, that will be culminated in the tribulation into one conglomerate. Now, somebody asked me this week, they said, what are you going to do with the Muslim factor and the Roman factor? Well, I just to be honest with you, I don't know, because they are the two biggest movements that are antichrist that I know about. Amen. And that neighbor, and by the way, when the great whore is judged, one of her judgments is because she has shed the blood of many saints. Is that not true? And so if that is true, then do you know any religious movements that have shed the blood of saints more than the Roman system and the Islamic system? I know not any neighbor religious organizations that have shed more blood than that. But Revelation 17 is about the judgment of the great whore. Now, when you move into chapter number 18, notice what happens here. Chapter number 18, it is not the great whore, but it's Babylon the Great that is judged. Now, my feeling is that the Babylon the Great in chapter 18 is the commercial end, neighbor, of the conglomerate world in the book of Revelation. So there is a judgment here of the one world government or the one world commercial system in chapter number 18. Now then, go to chapter number 19, verse number 1. Now look what it said. And it said, and I really love the in chapter number 19, we start off and said, after these things, which I'll touch later. Now, when all those things take place, notice in chapter number 19, verse number 1, there's a hallelujah, right? Right? Then you go to verse number 3, there's another hallelujah. Amen? Then verse number 4, there's another hallelujah. We move to verse number 6, and there's another hallelujah. Is that so? Y'all okay, aren't you? Yeah. So now then, notice what you have here. You got these four hallelujahs, and here's how I name them. I name them the hallelujah of salvation. I name them the hallelujah of termination, because the great horse terminated. They had the hallelujah of adoration, because they're involved in worship. Then the hallelujah of culmination, when it's all said and done. So let's take a peek of these, and I'll be out of the way. So number one, notice now the word hallelujah in these verses. The word hallelujah here, and even I guess I'm saying it correctly, but here's what it means. It means praise Jah, J-A-H, which is short for Jehovah. You say, well, now, brother, we're willing to use that, but wait a minute now. When I say that the word means praise Jah, got to remember this, that in Psalm 68, the word Jah is used untranslated. It's in that chapter of the Word of God, and it's not translated. So it's saying here, every time they say in this, they're saying praise Jah or praise Jehovah. Yes, what they're doing. Now then, our word, hallelujah, either is would be similar or pretty much the same as that word. Now, I don't want to labor on a lot of these things, but this word hallelujah, or the word that's translated here, hallelujah, is basically used in the Old Testament to magnify his durability. I'll give you the verse if you want them later, but it's used to magnify his dependability, to magnify his distinction, to magnify his desire, to magnify his deeds, and so on we could go. Now then, look in verse number 1 of this chapter. Let's kind of tap in here on the first hallelujah, which is the hallelujah of salvation. Now watch that read. Now after these things, I heard a great voice of much people in heaven saying, hallelujah, salvation and glory and honor and power unto the Lord our God. Now, number one, notice here, neighbor, there is a mark in history and which has occurred. Watch that reads now. Look at your Bible. The very first four words in verse number 1 is after these things. The hallelujahs do not break out until there is an after these things occur. Y'all get that now? So what would that be? Well, probably generally, it would be all the book of Revelation. Specifically, it would probably be Revelation 17 and 18, after the great Lord is judged, after neighbor the commercial system is broken down, then after that, they would say hallelujah. But practically, neighbor, it's after neighbor, no doubt, the chapter 18. But can I say this? For you and I, we better have an after these things. And that after these things is, we better, neighbor, have an after these things, or after our sins, after our wickedness, after our ungodliness, and we've been saved by the grace of God. Now, did I make that clear? Do you have an after these things in your life? Amen. I've got an after these. Look here. Before I came to know God, I could not say hallelujah right. Amen. But once I've had after these things, I've been able to say hallelujah. Amen. Now, watch something else you would now. Put your own it now. Notice now how big this hallelujah is. Notice verse number 1. And after these things I heard a great voice of much people. So I notice in that phrase there how large it is. There's much people here. I notice how loud it is. Oh boy. Somebody said, Brother Wells, I like sanctimonious worship. Well, what you mean is you don't want nobody to get excited, right? Amen. But here's what the book said. The Bible said here that they're saying with a loud voice. Well, I can take it when I get to heaven. Why can't you take it now? Yeah. Amen. Now watch it now. So here's what's happening now. Notice, neighbor, this loud voice is coming, neighbor. And notice where it is. Yes, it's in heaven. But now, remember, we're talking about this hallelujah of salvation. Now, put your own verse some more again. Hang with me now. I'm going to try to get done quickly, but notice now what's motivating this crowd here to say hallelujah in verse number 1. Look at your Bible. They got to have a motivation. What's the motivation for them saying hallelujah? Look what it said. They said hallelujah, salvation and glory and honor and power unto the Lord our God. Now the question for you tonight, does God need salvation? What? Does God need salvation? No. Let me ask you this. Does God need your glory? Does God need your honor? Does God need your power? No. So what they're saying, well, here's how the Lord gave it to me. So when they're saying salvation and glory and honor and power to God, what they're doing, they're excited about what belongs to God. Salvation belongs to God. Glory belongs to God. Power belongs to God. And honor belongs to Him. They're excited about what it belongs to God. But wait a minute now. By the way, neighbor, it's not that God needs that, but it belongs to Him. Amen. And you'll not get any of it unless God wants to share it with you. Right? So, look here. They're excited about, neighbor, what belongs to Him, but they're excited about what He shared with them. That salvation and glory and power, honor and power belongs to Him. And guess what He did? This crowd that's saying hallelujah, they're recipients of salvation, of His glory, of His honor, and of His power. They're excited about, neighbor, what belongs to Him and what God has shared with them. Christianity is not just the turning over a new leaf. It is the life of God in you. That's what Christianity is, absolute God living His life in you. Now then, when they saw that, here's what they said. They said, hallelujah. Is that right? Now let me ask you a question. I should have said this earlier, but let's establish this point here. Okay? Come on now. So in Revelation 4, there's a door that's open. You know a door to heaven, right? Right? Doors open to heaven, and there's a voice that says, come up here, right? Right? Rapture, right? So, will you be included in the rapture? Will you be included in the rapture? Will you be there? Are you saved? Do you know Him? So now then, when Revelation 19 occurs, where are you going to be? What? Oh, you got to be more specific than that. You've got to be more specific than that in Revelation 19. Neighbor, if the church is raptured, yet chapter number 4, then the church of Jesus Christ, which is you born again, is right here in Revelation 19. You are part of the crowd, that neighbor is going to be there. Amen. And you'll be saying, salvation and glory and honor and power unto Him. Amen. Amen. You'll be saying hallelujah. Well, here's the big question. Why are you going to wave them? Huh? Why are you going to wave them? Why do I get some practice before you get there? Amen. Why not do a little practice now? It won't hurt you to say it, but they'll think I'm Pentecostal. Who cares? I really don't care. I tell you, I don't really care what they think. I tell you, the Son of God that pulled me out of the gutter, the Son of God that changed me, deserves all honor and all glory and all power and all praise. Amen. And now these lips of mine are to cut some hallelujah. Number two. Go to verse number two. I've got to get done now. Got to get done. Let me not run that rabbit. Verse number two. Watch verse number two. The Bible said, for true and righteous are thy judgments, for he had judged the great whore, which did corrupt the earth with her fornication, and had avenged the blood of his servants at her hand. And again they said, hallelujah. And her smoke rose up forever and ever. Now, I'm not going to label this thing, but notice now the standard of judgment they're praising God about. Their standard of judgment is true and righteous are His judgment. He has never changed. Y'all hear that? He has never changed. When God judges, it's always in truth and always in righteousness. Amen. He does not judge me according to what I think about me. He's not going to judge you according to what I think about you. He judges in truth and righteousness. Amen to God. Right? Praise God. Notice now what's motivated them. He said, he's judged the great horn. Now, you remember what I told you that was? The great horn is that great religious system that they will operate as the one world religion in the tribulation period. Notice her sins. Yes, she did corrupt the earth with her fornication. Now, whether you like my thoughts or not, here's the truth. Every false religion has corrupted man, they've conned man, they've captured man, and they've condemned the man to hell. Every false religion will. Are y'all listening tonight? What if there was, and will this despair your tender feelings? We'll call it Religion X. Okay, so Religion X is vile, it's wretched, it's got awful doctrine that leads me to hell. Now, one of your children has been seduced by Religion X. Now, one child seduced by Religion X is going to influence one of the other children to Religion X. Right? So they're going to influence their other friends to be favorable to Religion X. But you know that Religion X is vile and wretched and leading souls to hell. They've already got two of your kids. So now then, God judges Religion X and wipes it out. So what are you going to do? They've all destroyed two of your kids. They've already ruined two of your kids, and God wipes out Religion X.
Amen.
So what are you going to do?
Yeah, amen.
Well, dear Lord, remember mercy and judgment. No. You're going to be elated that God has cut down an element that's dragging souls up into hell. Look here, in Revelation 2, you've got all the saints in heaven have watched as God judged the great whore, and they know that they've seduced men, sent men to hellfire, sent their children to hellfire, women to hellfire, and the saints, and God says,
hallelujah.
Hallelujah. You say, well, Brother Wells, where does that leave me? Well, let me ask you this. Can you not rejoice on what God said?
Yeah, amen.
Huh? Did you not read where the Bible said that vengeance is mine? I will pray, said the Lord.
Yeah.
Can I not say hallelujah that God is going to judge her?
Yeah.
Can I not say praise God that God's going to wipe out religion without God? Can I not say that?
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
So why wait then?
Yeah. Amen. That's right.
Why not go ahead and praise Him now? Why not go ahead and say hallelujah now, and God's going to wipe it out. Our Revelation 19:4. Come on now. But y'all, 19:4, we ain't got time to wait. We're not making pit stops. Let's go. Look at verse 4. Put y'all in it now. So the Bible said, and the 24 elders and the beast, they fell down and worshiped God that sat on the throne, saying, amen, hallelujah. And a voice came out of the throne saying, praise our God, all ye saints, all ye His servants, and ye that fear Him, both small and great. Now watch this now. This is the hallelujah of adoration. Watch now where this taking place. It's around the throne of God. You see that verse number 4?
Yeah.
Are they worshiping?
Yeah, amen.
What? Are they not worshiping? And they're worshiping around the throne. Is that right? You are not going to worship Him in this hour without somehow subconsciously acknowledging He's on the throne. Praise God. When I worship Him, I'm acknowledging He's Lord. I'm acknowledging He's God. I'm acknowledging He's on the throne. Hallelujah. Praise God. So, they're worshiping the realm of the throne. Oh my, notice now who's doing this. 4 and 3 years, all the rest of the crowd, which evidently includes all of them. Now watch now the procedure of the worship. It's not hallelujah. Come here. And it's not neighbor. And it's not. No. Watch what it said here. Notice what they're doing. They're worshiping. And the Bible said, they fell down. That's a good place to worship Him and to fall down before Him. Amen. That tells me that even in heaven, there's not an arrogant spirit. There's a humble spirit in worship around the throne. Praise God. Watch it now. Notice now, neighbor, they got a humiliation. They got adoration. They worship him. Y'all know that, I know. They worship him. Neighbor's like the dog, neighbor, licking his master's hand, adoring him. That's what they're doing with who's on the throne. Hallelujah. And in the process of that worship, they're saying, amen.
Yeah,
amen. Amen. They're worshiping him and they're saying, amen. Hallelujah, amen. If I'm adoring him, am I not saying, amen. Hallelujah. Bless his name. And you're worshiping and adoring the Son of God.
Amen.
Come on, is that right? You're right? Now here's the exciting part. Are you looking at verse number 4? Is that before? What did it say, Preacher Rains? Did it say they're worshiping him? And then there was a voice. 5. Wait a minute now. Wait a minute now. They've already stated they're worshiping, right? Then the Bible said there's a voice. Louder, Preacher. Voice came out of the throne. Is that right? They worship. Now there's a voice coming out of the throne. Is that right? Y'all can listen here. So, who is on the throne? What? Who's on the throne? Alright? You say one said God, one said the Lord Jesus. They're both right. Now, when Christ ascended, he sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high.
Yeah,
so if I said the voice that's coming out of that throne is God.
Sure.
Now, wait a minute now. What did the voice say? Look at it.
Yeah,
what did the voice say? Huh?
Yeah.
Is that not what they've just been doing? They've just been praising him. They've just been giving him glory. They've just been saying hallelujah. Right?
Yeah,
and all of a sudden, out of the throne comes, praise our God.
Yeah.
What's that about? That person on the throne liked it so much.
Yeah.
He said, do it again.
Amen.
Do it again, praise God. Do it again, hallelujah. That's what God's saying. When I bow down to worship him, God said, do it again. That by, oh Lord. Somebody was telling me today about being in a meeting and waves of glory. It's you, Brother Rick. Waves of glory came in. You ever been there? Why did it come in waves? I'm just guessing. Maybe it started toning down and God said, do it again. Do it again. Do it again, praise God. Do it again. You cannot worship God. That God responding. But I've got to say that enough for you to understand. I want you to listen to me tonight. Wash the toilets. Good. Paint the walls. Good. Vacuum the carpets. Good. And ladies, God bless you. Cook the meals. Good. But you're not going to get the response out of God that you get when you're in worship. Amen. Worship him and he'll say, do it again. Do it again. Do it again, praise God. Do it again. Amen to God. Woo! Don't you do? You read the four Gospels. Read the four Gospels. And every time somebody came to Jesus and worshiped him, he responded to them. Praise God. Every time. Every time they came to worship him, he responded. You're not going to worship him and him ignore it.
Yeah.
Woo! Why not? Because I say, why are you going to wait with them?
Yeah.
Why are you going to wait with them? Why are you going to wait around to them to chapter number 19? Why don't you get some good practice now? Praise God. Worship him.
Amen. Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
Woo!
Yeah. Amen.
All right. Let me give this lesson and I'm done. Praise God. Oh, my Savior. Look at your book. Look at verse number 6. This is the alleluia of culmination. Two things. Watch verse number 6. They said, hallelujah, for the Lord God omnipotent reigneth.
The war, listen, the war is over. The war is over. Hallelujah. When they're saying amen, they're saying hallelujah because the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. He's put every foe down. Amen. Even all the foes under his footstool. There's no foes even to contend with. He got them down. And they say hallelujah. The Lord God omnipotent reigneth. Woo. Every time in my life, every time in my heart where I can get the place where I can say, in this little kingdom here, the Lord God omnipotent reigneth, I say, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Is he reigning in your little kingdom? Is he reigning in your little kingdom? If he's reigning in your kingdom, why don't you quit, neighbor, unzip them lips? Yeah, unzip them lips. Say, if my mouth's dry, well, get your Rolaids or something, put in there. Get some moisture, amen.
Amen. Amen.
Hallelujah. Yeah. Praise God. Yeah. The war's over. Yeah. Will you not be glad when the war's over? Yeah. Yeah, praise God. I'll be glad when every foe is put down. Right?
Yeah.
Amen. One more verse of scripture. Watch your book. Let me get where I can read it for you. Amen. Oh, Jesus. Hallelujah. Verse number 7. Verse number 6 says the war's over. Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb has come. The waiting is over. We've been waiting for the marriage. I know I'm a part of the bride, yeah. But we've been waiting for the marriage supper, amen. But thank God when the war gets over, we and neighbor, the waiting is over, and the marriage is going to take place. Oh my God, when you get done with Revelation 20 and that great white throne judgment of God, verse chapter 21 says, John, let me show you the bride. Lamb's wife. Praise God.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah, man.
Waiting's over.
Yeah.
Children, don't give up. Children, don't give up.
Yeah.
Don't get weary in well doing.
Yeah.
Don't get weary in well doing. Praise God. Just get to worshiping him between here and there.
Yeah.
Amen. Amen. What's that passage in Philippians 4? It said, finally, my brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are what? Honest, or whatever it is, pure and lovely and of good report, think on these things. Yeah. In other words, I know what I preached on that. We're going to have to take a look at it. But you don't concentrate on it. If you concentrate on what we're dealing with today in politics, if you concentrate on it, you'll become mad and become an individual terrorist.
Amen.
Just now look here. Lord, help me right here. In reality, you don't have no idea what's going to be happening in politics tomorrow.
Right.
You don't. They may, but you don't.
Yeah. Right?
Right? Because they hadn't written a book telling you what's going to happen. But our Lord did. Our Lord did.
Amen.
Why not just believe what he said? Concentrate on what he said.
Yeah.
Go ahead and say hallelujah, Ms. Reigns.
Praise
God. I'm done. Well, I did my best. I hope I didn't overshoot the runway. Come on, Father.